back with Bill Lirak. We're not going to let him get out of here without some more bonus material because there's so much to talk about. Look, the Enron case is a signature case. A lot of people may not know this, but Enron came courting the Qualcomm Corporation, wanting them to buy all their energy from them.
You could hear about that on our radio show.
Yes, if they go back
in the archive,
if you go back and listen to that interview with Art Ball, I believe, is his name. He was in charge of all the energy. It actually was the second largest expense under salaries and compensation on their balance sheet.
I think they went with a Canadian company instead.
That is correct. So, but Bill was talking about Nucorp, and maybe you can enlighten us about that and what you think's going on in the energy sector today, Bill.
Well, Nucorp Energy was a public company here in San Diego many years ago. God, it's hard to remember now. I think late 70s, early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
First oil and gas crisis, lines down the street, rationed gasoline, odd and even days, mm-hmm. that old crazy time.
Mm-hmm.
That was 1973.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, was it really?
It was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somehow, even after 77, because I got here in 77,
yeah,
and I remember
the first one was 73.
Oh, yeah. There was another?
Well, this may have even been the second one. All
second
I know
one was about 5 years
is
later.
Oil goes way, way, way up in price, and everybody's going to dig out the Rocky Mountains and the Canadian oil tar pits, and of course, the charlatans flood the market, and this company, Nucorp, comes along, and... it's hard to remember, but Richard, you got to love a company that has internal documents about the pre-billing scheme. Now, that's very helpful to you when you're attempting to show that they were billing for things before they were supposed to.
Right. Oh, my God.
Anyway, we settled, got $40 million. I lost the case at trial. Arthur Anderson beat us. That's the way it happens at trial sometime, despite what was there. But what I wanted to sort of remember, when that whole oil crash started, when a little bank in the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma called Penn Square Bank defaults, and my God, the next thing you know, Continental Illinois Bank completely blows apart and disappeared, and I think C-First Bank.
Yeah,
maybe.
C-First, I think.
We had a couple of those.
Yeah.
Man, that was Joe. The American economy and the capitalist economy is completely dependent on a structure of enormous amounts of debt. That's just the way it works. Debt, generally, pretty good thing, works out. But boy, when it goes bad, you got to pay the loan back, and it doesn't matter what the collateral's worth. So,
not looking good.
How many billions of dollars of loans there must be on the bank's balance sheet secured by oil fracking assets and the like that can't possibly be economically viable at $28 or $29 or $30 a share, a barrel?
It's got to be huge. But.
Well, now are we getting into the derivatives too, Bill? Because no one...
I don't understand the derivatives market. It's too complicated. But that's another thing. You identify this problem over here and you say, okay, now this is a serious problem. We see it. We recognize it. And then it turns out the problem's 50 times bigger than that because you don't know hidden in back of it is all of that.
It's off balance sheet, as they say.
Hey, did you see in the Wall Street Journal yesterday 839 billion, trillion off balance sheet loans, leases and stuff?
Yeah, leases. Shh.
Is it trillion, really?
It's in the Wall Street Journal yesterday.
It was a big number.
You saw the number. Yeah. It was a big, big number. And, you know, you got to pay it back.
Is this sovereign funds? Is this corporations? Who's holding all these, Bill?
I mean, this is corporate debt, I believe, that was on the subject of this little piece in the journal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Financial Times, look at this, $3 trillion of leases to
this is...
Unbelievable.
Look, Enron was all off balance sheet financing. Mm-hmm. You can't value a company properly if you don't know what the debt and the terms of the debt are.
When did this come into being off? Whoever heard of this? I mean, this is
Enron and the banks. Who do you think taught the banks to do it? And you know, Richard, a delightful irony. When the banks blew up in 07 and 08, didn't get the publicity it deserved, but a lot of it was off balance sheet financing those darn banks. They had used it with Enron, blew up Enron, then wouldn't use it themselves.
Unreal. You would think this should be illegal, right?
The world of accounting, corporate bank accounting. Now, there's an easy subject to understand.
Joe, you have the same issue of a lot of people in public accounting wind up with the SEC or vice versa. Mm. So you never want to upset somebody that you might be asking for a job interview from later.
I think there should be a five-year rule, but you know, going from a large accounting firm or law firm into a regulatory agency and back, there should be a five-year window on either side of that, I think. Or I don't know what.
And then they make the argument, no, we need to have the expertise. It's an inherently untrustworthy situation.
You can't tell the good guys from the bad guys.
Yeah, moving back.
Well, like George Carlin.
We had the experience during Enron. Remember, the case went on 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it lasted forever.
I ended up at the end of the case negotiating with bank general counsels who are making 5 million beans a year, who I started out with when they were the head of the enforcement division of the SEC. I mean, we watched it happen. Richard Walker. That's their world.
Yeah.
That's their world.
It's unreal. And then you had more banks lined up, though, didn't you, Bill? Mm-hmm. I mean, that case, you did recover 7.2 or 4, whatever it was, but, I mean, it was supposed to be up to 15 or close to 20 billion.
Listen, we were 90 days away from trying that case against the remaining defendants that included, as I recall, Credit Suisse, Merrill Lynch, and a few other big banks who had plenty of money. We had these guys cornered. Normally in the federal courts, there's a rule. It's an obscure rule, but it's the one final judgment rule. In other words, you don't get to go for appellate help until the whole shooting match is done in the district court. Well, unfortunately, that requires you to sit there and take a $10 or $12 billion verdict now before you can get an appeal. So they file an emergency petition. I'll tell this. They file an emergency petition in the Court of Appeals, and it was about an inch long. But it was only one paragraph that mattered. It was all distilled down to, we are trapped in the district court with a madman who is going to destroy us, help us. That was what their brief said. It was very cleverly written by a bunch of guys from Harvard and Yale, but that's what it said. Fifth Circuit reached on and helped them. Took the case away before trial and said, you know what? Even though this litigation's been going on for 4.5, 5 years, even though it's been repeatedly held that these claims are proper, you know what? We don't think these claims are proper. You're out of court.
How do you like that?
Then that goes to the Supreme Court. Now watch what happens. This will be a good archive. The Supreme Court has 3 cases pending in review, pending possible review, that raise this issue of if you scheme or you're liable. One is our case. 2 problems with that case. Even the Supreme Court doesn't have the guts to take that case and say there's no liability. And worse than that, Justice Kennedy's adult son is a managing general partner of, I believe it was Credit Suisse at that time. Mm-hmm. So he can't take that case and rule on it because his son has a financial interest in a party. Yeah,
conflict of interest.
So they take a case from Oklahoma where some loony plaintiff's lawyer has claimed that the company who sold the cable TV boxes to the publicly owned cable TV company was in on the scheme to defraud their shareholders. And, of course, it's a claim that just is superficially ludicrous. That's the case they take and decide. That's Stone Ridge.
Stone Ridge, yeah.
And the banks walk away.
Huh.
I'm telling you, I was
And you get in trouble if you don't return your cable box.
So you know, I knew the guy who filed that case. I knew he was going to file it. It's Stanley Grossman from New York City. I'd say it if he was sitting right there. I begged him not to file the case.
Yeah.
He files the case. He loses it. It goes to the Court of Appeal. He loses. I said, Stanley,
Stop.
Stop already, right? The Supreme Court is going to decide this issue. Make them take the Enron case because it'll put them in an impossible box. He wouldn't do it. Yeah. And then I even asked him if I could argue his case, and he thought that was even less of a good idea.
but just so the folks know, the Stone Ridge case doesn't just apply to limiting liability for banks in the future, but it's all secondary actors. It's lawyers, accountants.
Lawyers. Big beneficiaries of that decision.
Yeah, accountants and everything else. But
accountants, not as much, Joe. Yeah. Accountants have their own legal obligations under the securities laws, but it does help them, Richard, because it basically forces you to focus on their opinion, that you don't really get opinion. All the sex and drugs and rock and roll that they were doing.
Well, the New York Times and Wall Street Journal, they all said it was one of the most important securities fraud cases in years, maybe in the whole last century. Who knows, right? I mean, in terms of, it's right up there. It's got to be in the top two or three, right?
I mean, you understand, we recovered $7.4 billion on a legal theory the Supreme Court said didn't exist.
Yeah. And you said today you'd be lucky to get 10 cents on the dollar?
The only liability you would be able to get was where you had a Section 11 claim for the sale of newly issued securities. Mostly it was preferred stock.
Right.
There wasn't much. I mean, you might have gotten 600 million, 10 cents, 700 million, but
from the banks or who?
The banks were underwriters. Yeah, okay. That's who. Okay. And the accountants would have paid a little something.
All right. So, anything else you have to before we wrap up here, Richard?
I think we ought to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Put it in the can.
Yeah.
Put it in the can.
Play
some
music. Don't lose it.
Justin, play some. Bill Lyrick, thanks so much for being our guest. You're welcome anytime, and it's been a real pleasure. All right, folks.
Glad to be here.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Okay, great, guys.